Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
The book of Psalms, the 63rd chapter, we're going to look at five simple verses tonight in that chapter, awesome verses of a message titled, He's All We Need. And I will tell you, if you know Christ, He is all you need. We don't need anything else, and many times, if you've not ever been to a state of hopelessness or brokenness, it will happen one day. Your back will give out, I assure you. If your back doesn't give out, your knees will. If your knees don't give out, your hips will. If your hips don't give out, a certain part of your body will, whether it's a lung, a heart, something is going to go down eventually. And it comes to the place when you get there of utter desperation. You begin to realize when you get to my age and you start to say, oh, there's things I can't do in life now physically. The longer this progresses, it will be more apparent, it'll magnify. There'll come a day when you won't wake up and have those good days that you feel good. It will just be stretches of, well, I didn't hurt that bad for these days, and now I have one good day, or whatever it might be. And it's the reminder, though, the gentle reminder that this body's not made for this forever. God reminds us when we get up in the morning with the aches and pains that we have that this is not home. We are passing through. Bible says we are aliens, okay? Some people think aliens agree. No, we're sojourners. How about that? Some versions use that term. But He is all we need truly. But what will it take to get you to the point that you realize that? What carnal desire is God going to have to snuff out in you about the people that forsake Sabbath? They don't think Sabbath's important, right? We work, pride themselves like I did many years ago. Oh, I work 7 days a week. I'm a machine. Oh, that's no problem. God will get your Sabbaths all at one time. You just keep on doing it. And that's a true statement, by the way. God will get His Sabbaths. We see in Israel, remember in AD 70? God said, you don't have to take the Sabbaths. You don't have to do Jubilee years. Don't worry about it. And if you remember, Israel lied fallow from AD 70 until when? Thank you, 1948. That's a long time. Do the math. God gets His Sabbath days, doesn't He? We can play around with it, but at the end of the day, God is Lord. He's all we need. If you are a follower of Christ, you can mess around. But I will tell you one thing. God has a choke collar, spiritually speaking. You know, the old dog that has a short memory, and a dog that maybe likes a cat, or maybe it likes a rabbit, and the rabbit gets near where it's at. It forgets that its leash only goes to the place where the grass doesn't grow. Because what happens? They lose all reality when they see that rabbit, when they see that cat. You ever seen that before? And they run with all of their energy, only to what? Boom. Find the end of that thing. God's got one. We can keep playing around. He's going to bring us to the place where He's all we need. I want to encourage you tonight to do that willingly. Don't make God have to break you to make you His own. Let Him do it with you growing and nurturing the spiritual you, the nature that God's birthed in you as a follower of Christ. I hope you found Psalm 63. Again, we'll look at the first five verses. And if you're physically able, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. God, You are my God, and I eagerly seek You. I thirst for You. My body faints for You in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. So I gaze on You in the sanctuary to see Your strength and Your glory. My lips will glorify You because Your faithful love is better than life. So I will bless You as long as I live. At Your name, I will lift up my hands. You satisfy me with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Father, thank you tonight again for your word. God, speak to us as only you can. God, be glorified, magnified, honored, lifted up. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Is he all you need tonight? In reality, is he? What happened if your spouse walked out? I have known so many people that's happened to. I've seen many responses to it. What would happen? Would you find yourself in complete despair, unable to understand how you can begin to go forward? Or would you, in a mentally sing this song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? No, it breaks my heart that this person that I loved and cared about and so wanted to spend the rest of my life with has abandoned me, but I know King Jesus will not. Would you sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Or would you find yourself, as Job was taunted to do by his wife and friends, to curse God and die? Answer that question to yourself. Codependency is toxic, a spiritual trait. It's a very toxic spiritual trait. Codependency leads people into relationships, one broken relationship after another, after another, after another, finding themselves in desperate need of someone else to feel fulfilled, when in reality, until we have pure, total, complete fulfillment in Christ alone, we will never find fulfillment. No relationship can ever give us the fulfillment that only Christ Jesus can. Nothing. It cannot. As a matter of fact, at the height of human relationships, it pales in comparison to the fellowship of sharing in the new covenant of salvation in Christ. Nothing pales. It all pales. Doesn't come close. Because see, we talked about it this morning at the house a little bit, speaking about the relationship of what the word happy means versus joyful. So you can have a happy experience, you know, you're whatever happened in life, your kid, you know, whatever, it's great, it's not how I'm happy. I find myself with an emotion of happiness. Oh, yes, I feel content. You're content, you're happy, but what is joy? See, joy comes from the wellspring. We know what Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is something that wells up from an internal experience, not an external. The external picture of happiness is one that is external. It's one that can radiate to me. It's just a mere visceral. It's a cerebral issue up in the brain. It's that thing of okay, it flows out. I'm happy. And then joy radiates, emanates from the heart. The joy of the Lord must emanate from within. But it's a true content. It's a true peace. It's a true fulfillment. Whereas happiness is something that quickly wanes. You're happy on Christmas morning as a child when you open up all these presents, right? Oh, it's so wonderful. It's great. And then the newness of those toys wears off. As we see in Hollywood, the newness of the relationships wears off soon after the honeymoon's over. Not understanding what a true commitment, what true fulfillment is, they don't know. All they know is this broken system they continue to perpetuate in the fame and the fortune and the boats and the homes and the this and the that and the jets, and all to find a deeper realization of their emptiness as their eyes wake up in the morning. And of course, as sadly we've seen play out over and over, just the substance again with Michael Jackson alone was propofol. Why need a propofol to sleep at night? Couldn't even get a good night's sleep anymore. Can you imagine? Propofol they use for surgery. Can you imagine if you're reduced to needing a substance so strong that you have a doctor that needs to monitor you because you have this great potential of stopping breathing to just get a little bit of peaceful sleep at night? You believe with the wealth, the fame, and the fortune, and all that Michael Jackson attained in my lifetime, that would not bring you some semblance of fulfillment? No. It is fleeting. That's why, again, that statement of Jim Elliot's so profound, because you're not a fool that gives what he cannot keep. What can we not keep? We cannot keep the things of this life, this world. that mother that Friday night, "Hi, I'm so-and-so." I would say probably the highway patrol worked that one. "We regret to inform you that your daughter's been killed in an accident and your other two daughters are being life-flighted to Vanderbilt Medical Center." Imagine what she would give at that moment to have her child again. What would you give? You'd give everything. If you were Michael Jackson, you would give everything and live in abject poverty to have that person back. We all would. See, that's not the reality of things. The allure of money and fame and wealth and fortune says, no matter what happens, I'll always have my peace, my joy, my hope. No. All of the things this world are fleeting. How many times have you heard somebody, "Just give me another 10 minutes, give me another day, give me another week. I'd do anything." See, we can't do that. Because the structure that God, through man's choice, was ushered in is this place in life that one day will be replaced with true life, but yet at the moment, what is our call? Our call is to be light. Our call is to be joy. Our call is to be hope. Our call is to be peace. And the only way the joy can radiate in us is when it lives in us and emanates through us. Or we can be happy. I had a neighbor across the street. I remembered it this morning and said it to one of the kids. I had a neighbor across the street's dog name was Happy. She was a German woman, really neat lady. Her name was Mrs. Friels, what I called her. And she had a German accent. She'd say, "Happy, Happy." She'd call Happy outside. Happy was happy. It was a little poodle, about this big. Happy was living the life. By the way, that was in 1976 through 1978 or 9 that I was around Miss Friels, Mr. Friels, and Happy. They had a daughter named Donna. Happy was a dog. Happy didn't know Happy. Happy's existence was happiness, but not in the context of the human sense. See, we get happiness from an animal, but we get joy from the Lord. See, He's all we need. But do you realize that tonight? Do you realize that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will endure through all time and eternity? There'll be no man, ladies. Man, there'll be no woman that will ever give you what only God can give you. And I will tell you, one of the greatest demonstrations of a marriage that I've ever watched in my lifetime was with Brother Charles's grandson and his new-to-be wife at that point, Jessica. They had the most incredible wedding ceremony that I've ever been a part of. They had me officiate, and they said, "Well, he wrote his vows," and boy, next thing you know, he started off, and I'll tell you, I've never heard anything like it. I still want a copy of it. I hope they recorded. They were supposed to get me one, but they hadn't yet. He begins to profess that, "By the way, I vow to you that I will love God more than you." He says this in front of all these people. I'm like, this guy, this is deep. He had me crying the time it was over with as he professed his undying love for her, but that God would be in everything much higher than she was because he could never love her the way that God intended her to be loved until God was number one, and he vowed to keep God number one always. I'll tell you one thing, it was unreal. It was the most profound wedding that I have ever been a part of in my life, and I've been to a lot of them. But see, Kevin gets it. See, he knows that God is all that he needs. And he knows that he loves his wife. I know that for a fact. But he loves her in the proper context. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, his soul, his body, and his strength. But then his wife, he loves his neighbor as himself. See, she can't rightfully occupy a position that God only alone can occupy. See, God can't go here and she go here. And I say this to everyone in this building. Ladies, you want to make sure you have a man that loves God much more than he ever dreamed of loving you, because if he doesn't, he will never be able to love you as God has created you and commanded him to love you. See, when you're in love with Jesus, everything else works. Do you realize he's all we need? And what he's going to do is he's not going to put an unreasonable or an unimaginable expectation on you, because he realizes that expectation cannot be met. He has to realize, and when he loves the Lord as God first, then he realizes that you're going to fail him one day. And it won't shipwreck him if he has fallen into codependency, because see, he hasn't. He will be able to love you, and that time that you naturally do what any human does at one point or another in letting him down, he will gracefully be able to extend grace to you. Someone texted me today and wished me a happy birthday. They had forgotten about it, and very apologetic because they've gone through something extremely traumatic in the last year. And I just text back, you know, I thank you, but I never expected it from you at all. And I love you and praying for you. And by the way, I'm just extending you much grace. In other words, hey, I realize it. And they text back and said, you know, you're so kind. Thank you. See, I don't and cannot put expectations on people that we are all fallible, we're flawed. Now, if you think that I'll never fail you, let me break your bubble now. I will fail you as anyone will. The Lord Jesus is the only one that'll never fail us. He's the only one that will never leave us and never forsake us. Every person in here, I will promise you, there is person after person that I have heard of that are over 70 years old getting divorces. I heard of someone this week, 80 years. What? You're out of your mind. If you've been married to me, let's say 50 years, I'm 80 years old, and you want to leave me, I'm going to wrap you in cellophane wrap around your rocking chair. You ain't going nowhere. You've been with me 50 years. I'm sorry, it's over. No returns. Amen? Oh, me. Some of y'all just got nervous. They said, that man's going to think that. No. Don't wrap him in cellophane. Just tell him, no, you're not leaving. No, you know, you say, well, you just leave now. I'm not going nowhere. Amen? You've got me for the long. I've got a no return policy. Praise the Lord. Amen? Some of y'all are getting really nervous now. But what I say in this is, people are going to let you down. There's going to be people that have someone walk in after 50 years of marriage and tell you that they don't love you anymore. Can't imagine that. I can't imagine the heartbreak of that. But I'll tell you what, if he's all you need, then you know what you're going to do? It breaks my heart. But I'll tell you one thing, my King Jesus will never leave me. He'll never break my heart. And I'll love you until the day that you die, and I will pray for you until the day that I die or you die. And I'm always going to love you. That's what you do. Because see, that right there is a godly response to an ungodly situation, an ungodly circumstances that we find ourselves in as followers of Christ. But I want you to know tonight, see, he's all I need. And I know one thing, churches and friends and jobs and bosses and neighbors, they're going to all let you down. Your mother and father are going to let you down sometime in your life. Your best friend's going to let you down. They're going to let you down. They're going to hurt you. You may not do it intentionally, though people that do. There's very warped and sadistic people out there. I know that. There are people that like to watch others hurt. See, that's their problem, and I'll let that be their problem. I won't make that my problem because, see, he's all I need. And I pray tonight you're at that place because I'll tell you what, the first thing I want to share with you tonight is a thirst for God's presence results in being fulfilled. A thirst for God's presence. What is God's presence? Well, let me just tell you, if you don't know what it is tonight, we need to have a much longer talk than we can have in here. Amen? If you don't know what it's like when I say, get in God's presence tonight and know that that will result in fulfillment, I don't have the time to explain to you what being in God's presence is. Do me a favor, get with me, because we need to talk, and you're going to learn some really awesome stuff when we do. But for those of you who understand what I'm talking about tonight, dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. We see in Psalm 23 referencing a future time, right? We see Psalm 23 referencing present and future. We know in the future point starts at, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the promise, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then what is it taught? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're talking about future tense of what's going to happen one day when we cross over from death to life and the blood sacrifice of Christ Jesus, which became our propitiatory, our atonement, the payment for our salvation, is going to permanently be applied to us in the sense that we will be in a place we know is heaven, a place devoid of hurt, shame, sorrow, brokenness, and all of those things that we know is representative of the sin-stained world that we live in. But then in verses 3 and 4 of 63, look at real quick again. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will bless you as long as I live. At your name, I will lift up my hands. There's so many songs in this scripture right here. If you guys are like me, there's about four songs that I know of growing up. Praise God. And if you don't know them, I hate it. You all missed out. Your family just ruined you by not getting you to church, because there's some really, really, really good songs. And they're playing in my mind right now. Sorry, that's the ADD part of me. Just pray that one day they have medicine that works up into the evening. And amen. Until then, just bear with me. To God be the glory. So the second thing I want to share with you is this. Lips that bless the Lord know the peace of the Lord. Lips that bless the Lord know the peace of the Lord. Well, I know the peace of the Lord, and that's why I bless the Lord at all times. His name will continually be in my mouth. Another song. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. Anybody know that song? Man, it's rich. Good stuff. If you don't know it, look it up on YouTube tonight. You'll have your little Pentecostal worship service at the house. Praise the Lord. You'll get up, start jumping and clapping because it's exciting. It's really good, though. Bless the Lord. His praise should continually be in my mouth. Those lips that bless the Lord, they know the peace of the Lord. That's why they're blessing the Lord. They know those times that, by the way, doesn't just mean that the peace of the Lord means that times are good. How many people in here have been in the midst of a catastrophe in their earthly perspective, but bless the Lord in the midst of it? I know it. See, yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, just like the disciples, they got in that boat, got nervous because they didn't connect the fact that the master of the storms was in the midst of the boat asleep. Oh, you're going to let us die. You don't even know what's going on here. The master of the storms was on board. All I would have done is hung on to him because we know he's not going to drown. Amen. See, if you realize who Jesus was, you just grab onto him and go, listen, I'm not going anywhere. Let her blow. But they were showing their faithlessness. And what happened? Be still. And what happened? Instantaneous calm. See, lips that bless the Lord know the peace of the Lord. And by the way, just again, knowing the peace of the Lord doesn't mean that everything's good all the time. You can bless the Lord when your wife, your husband of 50 years is walking out of the house because you realize that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You realize that he is all you need. That's where the wellspring of peace resides, in recognizing that you're not putting a weight of responsibility on another human being that they are not capable or able to bear. They can't live up to that standard. Only God can. So you realize that people are going to mess up at times. And when they mess up, what do? You extend grace to them. And what could I have done with that person? Yeah, you know, what am I, nothing? And played around mentally with someone who's already crushed enough? No. God forbid. My own mother forgot about my birthday. I hope she's not watching this tonight. She forgot about it last year, I think it was. Oh, she was just all to pieces, crazy, just distraught. I said, Mom, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. I really don't care about my birthday in the first place, because all it does is remind me that I'm getting older. And 38 years old is hard, for crying out loud. Amen. Some of us that are perpetually stuck on numbers, right? Amen. My actual, probably chronological, is age 83, so I got part of it right. I just got a dyslexia showed up. That's my feels like age this week. But my mind is 19. Now what were we talking about? Amen. Lips that bless the Lord know the peace of the Lord. And then verse 5, and then we'll close. You satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Third and final thing I want to share, the joy of the Lord will satisfy with strength. The joy of the Lord will satisfy us with the strength we need to endure, to go, to carry on, to stand firm. We're going to face opposition, all of us do. We're going to face trials and tribulations of every form and sense, and we face them daily. Even in the sense of being discouraged, and a lot of pastors deal with what they call a hero on Sunday to a zero on Monday. That's one of the things pastors deal with. There's this, you think about the spirit and the work, the passion, the encouragement, and then Monday morning, see, you've had the enemy show up overnight, and he comes with the minions to attack. Now remember, a follower of Jesus Christ cannot be possessed. If you ever have anybody tells you that, it's unscriptural, it's unbiblical, but you can be oppressed. Oppression comes from the outside. It's an external oppression. It's a spiritual oppression. Anybody know what oppression is here? I hope all of you do, because if not, you are in trouble. Oppression is when the enemy, from the external sense, hurls accusations. As it says in Job, the accuser of the brethren. That's what he accuses, accusations. Look at you, I can't believe you. I can't believe God would have saved you. I can't believe, and you know what I'm talking about. Probably you're going, oh my goodness, sound like he's talking to me. No, he is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He wants to define us by the proclivities or the sick battles that we have in a sinful sense. He wants to define us by those verses, the new creations we are in Christ. Yes, we need to gain victory over sin, victory over temptation, flee all of the battles and thoughts of the heart and mind. But that doesn't define who we are. See, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's who we are, what we are, and who defines us, or who should define us. And see, the joy of the Lord will satisfy us with the strength to stand firm under the accusations of the enemy when you rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. Why now do you see why I hammer continually, perpetually, the importance of being in God's Word, learning God's Word? If you're not reading God's Word, let me just tell you what it's like. If you know anything about Iran, they do not like Americans. I would challenge you, if you're not reading God's Word, if you want to see what a better outcome would be, go to Iran, buck naked in the middle of the street with a flag painted of America on there and death to Muslims. You're going to last longer there looking like that than spiritually you will when you're not in God's Word, you're not reading, and you walk out on a daily basis to an enemy that desires to sift you, to destroy you, to obliterate you. So you'll only get yourself killed once out there. You'll get spiritually obliterated day in, day out, week in, week out. You want to know why you're negative all the time? Because you have no source of positivity. You have no source of encouragement. You have no wellspring of joy that's pumping you full of the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not walking in the anointing as a follower of Jesus Christ should. You're not praying in the Spirit. You don't know what it is. Why? Because you have no fellowship with the Father. You're telling God all you want. Oh, God, help me now. Fix me. Get it right. Don't let me have these. Don't let me do that. Don't let me battle this. But you say, God, no, I don't want to hear it. Stop. Don't talk. Nope. No. Like a 3-year-old kid putting your fingers in your ears saying, I don't want to hear you. Because when you don't read the Bible, whether you want to hear it, I'm going to say this until everybody's blue in the face and runs out the back door. When you don't read this, you put your hand over God's mouth and tell him to shut up. Sorry to say that word, but it's the truth. I'm going to tell you what it's like, but you won't tell me anything, God, because it's my life and I'll do what I want to do. And let me tell you, look at there, I'm done throwing my glasses now. I'm fixing to have a spell. And I say this because I'm sick and tired of believers getting beat all over the place and playing a victim. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the enemy getting victory and dominion over followers of Christ and them sitting back like they've done nothing wrong. Proverbs, what'd she do? Wipes her face and says, what did I do? Read it and you'll know what I'm talking about. It'll only take you 30 days to get through them. If you read one a day, Proverbs, you'll understand exactly what did I do? That's what happens when you just put your hand over God's mouth and tell him to shut it down. But you tell him every day how much you love him and how much you want him to help you and how much you need victory and oh, how you're struggling and how you don't know why your wife, your husband doesn't love you and why your kids don't want anything to do with you and you're just so negative and everywhere you go, it's like carrying in a bag of feces and everybody takes off. I don't know what's wrong. You're putting out the sweet aroma of filth. And don't know why nobody wants to party with you. Nobody wants to eat with you. Nobody wants to dine with you. Nobody wants to dwell with you. Because you have the stench of disobedience and sin and you refuse to believe that it's something that is not repulsive. What do you want? You want joy and you want peace, you want hope? Why do you continue to refuse to get into the place where the wellspring of that flows from? See, a thirst for God's presence results in being fulfilled. Do you want fulfillment? You keep running in the opposite direction, whining about why there's none. Lips that bless the Lord know the peace of the Lord, but yet you don't bless the Lord because you don't know what to bless in the first place, because all you do is feed the carnal nature, the carnal desires with the filth of the world. You'll turn on, the first name that came to my mind is Kenny Chesney. I don't know much about his songs or whatever on the radio you listen to, and you sit back and you dance this foolishness that talks about parties on Friday nights and hummingbirds and butterflies and fireflies. But you don't want to know about the fire of God, the fire of the Spirit, the fire of revival falling down on your family and your home. You don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because it doesn't entertain you. See, you wouldn't know what lips that bless the Lord was if they smacked you in the mouth. Because you've drifted so far from the presence of God that you don't know what it's like to be in his presence. And see, the joy of the Lord can't have the potential to satisfy you with strength because you have no joy. You think you do, but you have no joy. And you will have no peace. And you will not have no hope until there's a change of dominion. Now you may say, what do you mean a change of dominion? Well, you may be a professed follower of Jesus Christ, but you are not dwelling in his presence. If you are not in obedience in his presence, if you are not entering his presence, enter what his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. See, there has to be thanksgiving and praise to enter his presence. And only way we enter his presence is the eternal high priest and giving him glory. He deserves glory and he deserves praise. Man, I'm telling y'all, if I knew y'all wouldn't go, I'd go for five more hours. I'm about stirred up tonight. But I'm going to leave you wanting more instead of wishing I said less. I want to challenge all of you to get in his presence starting tonight. What's the best way to have a thirst again for his presence? To repent. You know what repentance is? It's confessing sin. What sin? I'll tell you the sin of not getting in his presence, it's sin if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Larnell Harris sung a song, and never forget it, 1986, I heard it the first time driving to my uncle who was in a Toyota 4Runner with about five of the camp director. He was the camp director, and they had the counselors. They just finished camp. I'd just gotten back to Nashville with my cousin from camp. His name was Johnny Thompson. And Johnny, he was going to take the counselors. They'd had a really good week, going to take them bowling. And the driveway of the camp was about 3 miles long, and they were going down the driveway. And Johnny he liked speed. His mom, Mary Thompson, said I was just like Johnny, but had a love for speed, and he was going down the driveway, and something happened, and he lost control of the 4Runner, and began to flip, threw all of the kids out, and Johnny was thrown out, and ready? There was one rock in the entire field, and Johnny's head hit it, and he died. And I'll never forget, though, as we were driving with my parents to Johnny's funeral, Laurel Harris song I'd never heard in my life. And remember now, I was 12, 13 years old, young. And it was a song that said, I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? This is all of it. I know this song. There's a longing in my heart, a longing just to know it's you. I miss my time with you. It's a good song. But that's what God tonight misses. He misses his time with you. He wants to hear from you. He made you. He knows you. He saved you. God tonight wants to speak to you. And the only way that's going to happen is when you confess your apathy of not reading his word because of the excuses. Well, I'm just so busy, but oh, I can hear Kenny Chesney and everybody else and a million people howl and drone on about relationships and parties and fun and all the things the world for hours. But oh, God, your word is so boring. Lord, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Really? I hope that's not what you'd think, but that's what our actions tell him. But tonight it starts when you say, God, I repent of my, ready? Pulling you from your rightful place in the throne of my heart and all of the other proclivities of life and entertainment has been placed in the place that you deserve. And God, tonight, I purpose to give you the first fruits of my life. Mine happens at 2 a.m. when I get up, I get out and I read my Bible because none of what I do in the day ever works right if he is not preeminent. Number one, first and foremost. Oh, you don't wake up? Good. Do what I do. Go in the bathroom and put your face in the sink and get a bunch of cold water and put it in your face. It has an ironic ability to wake you up. I'm not joking. Especially in the winter. It just has this unsightly ability to, within a second of throwing that water on my face and going over my towel and wiping it off, it's like, woo, all right, I'm awake now. But you have to do it. Or you can do what so many do and make another excuse for why, I'll do it later on. It never happens. We can continue to just give these reasons why, but then as the rest of our life goes down the toilet and we stand there having a little party as we watch everything just continue to spiral. And then a lot of times it's spiraling and we wait to get right to the middle, and when it's real fast and curly, then Brother Jonathan, can you help me? I can't get a net in there. I can't do anything. Because sometimes we get so far, the mess is so deep, the garbage of our life that we've plunged ourselves into, it's a monumental feat that some people aren't even willing to attempt at that time. But see, tonight, if you're here, you have the ability to not even begin the spiral of destruction, the proverbial toilet of life. Don't do it. No matter how big the mess you have in your life tonight is, it's not bigger than the redemptive reach of Christ Jesus to reach down to wherever it is you are in the depth of despair and begin a new work. Just like the potter, I reference quite often Nehemiah, the potter's house, he was working on a vessel, forming it into a new vessel as he saw fit. It was marred. Maybe you've got a marred vessel tonight. It doesn't matter, because guess what? God is the God of a second chance. God is the God, I call it the fourth quarter God. It's that Titans game, and right around 2000, maybe you guys remember it, where in 1 second, you know, they were going to win the Super Bowl, and they didn't. They blew it. Maybe you've got a mess so big, everything seems stacked against you, but tonight, when you confess 1 John 1:9, confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It can begin. Or you can let the distractions, just like I've been battling, I'm not going to mess with them. I just keep on going, and we're going to keep going. I'm not going to let this distraction get my mind and my focus off what right tonight God wants to do in a life and a heart. And that's what you've got to do tonight. You can let the distractions, you can sit there and think about whatever it is that you've got to do tomorrow and all these different things and let Satan just dance you right out the back door, never doing any of the things that God right now is convicting you to do. Or you can do what God did to me on September 20th, 2004,
when I died to myself and I began a new life in Christ Jesus, and I've never had anything to turn back to. I have nothing to turn back to. But I'll tell you what I know tonight, he's all I need. 4 years in bed, he's all I need. My wife left every day just like today with a fare and couldn't come home till night and had to take the kids with her. But what God had to do was show me he is all I need and he's all you need. But until you get to that place and realize that, and realize one day when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will not have that codependent spouse you have with you that you are depending on right now. That person right now that you go, I don't know what would happen if they were gone right now. I wouldn't even be able to live anymore. You better do a serious checkup from the neck up tonight, because you do not need them. You need him. They're a blessing if they're in the proper context. But if they're not in the proper context, they can actually be something quite toxic to your true number one relationship with the God of creation.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.